And we've been studying the Holy Spirit and His gifts. You could phrase this many different ways, but we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He has an assignment. He has a mission to fulfill on the earth. And we are part of God's plan. And so if we're going to cooperate with the Lord in doing His will, we need to understand the Holy Spirit and how He works. All right? Now, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to focus in on verses 27 through 31. And I'm going to take my time this morning. I promise you I won't teach for a long time. But there's some things we need to know and understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 27. Notice what it says. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? I'll throw the question out for you guys. Are all apostles?
No.
No, but some are. Are all prophets?
No,
no, but some are. Is everybody anointed to teach?
No.
No, but some are. Are all workers of miracles?
No.
No, but some are. Have all gifts of healing?
No.
No, but some do. Do all speak with tongues, that is, diverse kinds of tongues?
No,
no, but some do. Do all interpret?
No.
No. But some do. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he, by the Holy Spirit, goes into an exhortation about the characteristics of love. The one thing that we have to understand is that love never fails. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails. If we pursue after love, it will initiate the gifts of the Holy Spirit at times. If you pursue after love, it will initiate the gifts of the Holy Spirit at times. Now, you might ask this question. Well, you know, it sounds to me like you're teaching something for ministers. Well, no, not really. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth was not a memo to pastors or a letter to be read during the Ministerial Association annual meeting. He was writing to believers in the city of Corinth, and this letter was to be read throughout the region among other groups of believers. But there's something that I am confident that we have missed for years in thinking that if God was going to do something along these lines, He had to use somebody with a degree or who wore a robe or who had many letters behind their name. And I assure you that is not the case. We are the body of Christ, and each one of us are individual members. And God has set these gifts in the church. And I say it often, if God set these gifts in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? And we miss what God endeavors to do simply because we don't understand the Holy Spirit and how He works. Well, part of my job is to teach you so that you understand how He works. Amen? So we have divided the gifts into three categories. We've talked about them in previous lessons. We don't have time to go back and review. But I want you to go to John chapter 2. And we're going to continue to look at this one manifestation of the Holy Spirit called gifts of healings. John chapter 2. And I think if we understand this principle, we'll leave here today being the better because of it. Not only that, we'll be able to be much more of a blessing to those that we encounter and meet in life on a daily basis. Now remember, I talked about pursuing after love. Love never fails. And the question might pop into your mind, well, that's great, you know, we love the brethren. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible even goes so far as to tell you to love your enemies. And so who do we love? Who do we reach out to? Who do we minister to? Remember I talked about the young lawyer who came to Jesus in Luke chapter 10 last week? And the question that he posed to Jesus was, well, who then is my neighbor? And remember that word neighbor means him or her or he or the person that is closest to you at any given moment. And so if I happen to be in the presence of Alonzo Coleman, then presently he's my neighbor. He may not physically live next door to me, but he's my neighbor because he's the person closest to me at that given time. And so if we pursue love, love your neighbor, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself, then we have now opened the door for the Holy Spirit to minister to others, and sometimes in a very dramatic and powerful way. But if we close our hearts and close our minds and think that, well, you know, God couldn't possibly use me, then with that kind of thinking and believing, He won't. Because you have excluded Him. You have shut the door. And I think we've all been there to a certain degree. I remember once being in a church service and the Holy Spirit told me to do something and I thought, you got to be kidding. I'm serious. That was what ran through my mind. You got to be kidding. And you know what else came through my mind? What if it doesn't work? That's what I was thinking. And I didn't respond. I've been in other situations where the Holy Spirit manifested Himself. And one time in a church in Ohio, I said to the Lord under my breath, I said, God, they don't believe that here. They don't do that here. You know, it's a denominational church. But, you know, He wouldn't let me go. I had a conversation with a sister from a denominational church this past week. And she said, you know, I teach these things because the Lord told me to take the Holy Spirit back to my church. And she said, one time I was ministering to a sister in my church, denominational church, and she needed healing. And so I just touched her in her forehead with my finger. And she said, next thing I know, she fell out on the floor. Power of God hit her. She fell out on the floor in the denominational church. And she said, and everybody was looking like, what in the world is going on? She said, but I didn't make a big deal about it. Now, this dear sister had enough sense to know that God can use you anywhere. Amen. Are you with me? But so often we've closed our heart and closed our mind to the degree that we really don't love our neighbors the way we should because we think, well, God, you can't use me. Well, God, you know, I only see that on TV. Well, I'm about to open up your understanding a little bit today. Are you with me? John chapter 2. Let's talk about this manifestation called gifts of healings. John chapter 2, and I want you to see this. Verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. Notice this. When they saw the miracles which he did. Now this is speaking about Jesus. But many people came to have confidence and trust in him for one reason and one reason only. They saw the miracles. They saw the miracles. Now I like what Jeremy Gall says just about every time he comes to minister here. He said, you know, there's not an American Jesus and an African Jesus and a South American Jesus and a Central American Jesus and a Russian Jesus. Jesus is the same. And whatever he'll do in the bush in Africa, he'll do right here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And so if he works miracles anyplace, he'll do it here. If he manifests himself with gifts of healings anywhere, he'll do it here. And if he chooses to use anybody, it is his right to use you. Yes. But if you don't understand how he works, if you've closed your mind, closed your heart, he's a gentleman. He'll leave you alone. But you have to understand, if he did it then, he'll do it now. I just did a series on the radio called Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our Healer. And I taught 14 weeks this time. First time I did it was 14 weeks. And I love teaching it because not many other people do it. Number one, there's so much information to share. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And many times people don't experience these things because they don't have faith for it. You know, they've never heard anything about it. Well, we are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. Now, he's talking about ministry gifts here. And I don't care who you are, I can find you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? If anything, you might not be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher. You might not work miracles. You might not have gifts of healings, but you can help. You can help. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. There are people in this congregation who have an anointing for diverse kinds of tongues. And I've been prodding and pushing, and, you know, they'll get there. They'll get there. Well, Pastor Bill, I've never seen that in church. Well, stick around. You with me? I was the same way at one time. You know, stick around. You're going to see a lot of things you've never seen before. But the whole point is pursuing love and ministering to people. All right? Don't limit God as to what he can do. And if he wants to, give him the right to use you. Are you with me? Now, let's pursue this a little more. Here we see that people believed on Jesus because of the miracles. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to look at something here that I think will help to solidify this in your mind. Now, here's an instance where a woman at Joppa died, but that wasn't the end of the story. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh, or Lydda was nigh unto Joppa. See there, you messed up my sermon there. I'm just playing. Lydda. I'm just kidding. For as much as Lydda was nigh or near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, then they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he should not delay to come to them. And when Peter arose and went with them, when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But notice what Peter did. He put them all out and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Notice verse 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, here we see a supernatural manifestation of several gifts in operation. But the end result was a woman who had died came back to life and was presented alive. And when the word spread, many believed on the Lord. Now, why did they believe on the Lord? Because of the miracle that was done. Now, many people are of the opinion that God worked miracles in the early church to sort of give the church a jump start, help it get going down the road. But after the last apostle died, miracles ceased. Well, you don't find anything in the Scripture to support such a supposition. In fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite, and we're going to look at this in a moment. Now, why am I talking about this? Because we have to understand that there are times that the Holy Spirit endeavors to do something that goes beyond your might. You are mortal, you are finite, you are limited, but the Holy Spirit is not. And we have to realize that he is the one that initiates these things. Notice what Peter did. The saints wanted him to come and minister to this girl. She's already gone. Notice what Peter did. The first thing he did was put them all out. And then the second thing he did was he prayed. Now, why did he pray? Hear from the Holy Ghost. Because every time somebody dies, you're not going to do this. Are you with me? And if you try to do this on your own, Mr. Carson, you will fail miserably. Miserably. English translation? It won't work unless the Holy Ghost is in manifestation. And so here, he heard from heaven, knew exactly what to do, just said to her, Dorcas, get up. Her spirit came back into her body. She got up. He picked her up by the hand. Said, all right, I'm going to send you back to your friends. Are you with me? Now, what happened here was the Holy Spirit manifested himself. Number one, working of miracles. Number two, gifts of healings. Had to be evident because whatever killed her the first time would kill her again. Y'all with me? And special faith. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt raise the dead. The Bible does say these signs shall accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can have faith for that. But the Bible does not tell every believer you shall raise the dead. So you've got several manifestations of the Holy Spirit working in concert here. The end result was she was raised from the dead and many people believed in the Lord. Are you with me? Now, you might think, yeah, but that was Peter. Yeah, it's true. But God can use people other than apostles. I'll show you this. Turn to Acts chapter 8. We're in Acts chapter 9. Back up a page. Acts chapter 8. Now, I'm going to show you a couple things about the Holy Spirit and what He can do in the life of an individual. But let's start with this account in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now there again, is everybody with me? This is not advanced stuff. This is basic stuff. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And I have news for you. If you're in Christ, the same Holy Spirit that rested upon Peter lives in you. We sang that song during praise and worship. You know, glorify thy name. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, it says, and in your spirit, which are God's, but that was added by the translators. Glorify God in your body. Why? Your body's the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you are not your own. Now, we know that we've been bought with a price. Jesus paid a terrible price to redeem us back to God. But that's not an accurate translation. The word your own is a Greek word, hiatu, and it literally means you are not alone. And so as a believer, we have a responsibility to glorify God in our bodies because we're not alone. The Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. And so if we will take the initiative to reach out to our neighbor in love, there are times that the Holy Spirit within us and the Holy Spirit upon us will do something that goes beyond your ability. All you have to do is trust Him. Are you with me?
Yes.
Just have confidence. He can do more in a moment than you'll accomplish in a lifetime. And it's no, here's an old expression, it's no sweat off his brow. See, when Peter turned to Dorcas and said, girl, get up, God wasn't straining on the throne trying to get this thing done. It was quite easy. Are you with me? It didn't drain the batteries in heaven. It was no big deal. But we have to learn how to hear His voice. Y'all still with me? All right, notice Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. Why? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, Philip was not an apostle. Philip is the only man in the New Testament identified as an evangelist. One who preaches the good news. He's identified later on in the book of Acts as Philip the evangelist. Had seven daughters, I believe, which prophesied. Now, Philip, at this point, his job, if you will, or his ministry description, job description or ministry office, was helper. In Acts chapter 6, he was one of the seven men chosen as a deacon, diaconus. The word diaconus means servant or bondslave. He was a deacon in the church at Jerusalem. Now, what was his specific function in the church at Jerusalem? Feeding widows. Or meals without wheels. See, we have meals on wheels now because we have automobiles. But they didn't have automobiles back then. So what was Philip's ministry? Meals without wheels. Feeding widows. Are you with me? You don't print that on your business card. I'm the guy who feeds the widows. Now, let me show you something. That was his role and responsibility. He was helping in the church at Jerusalem. Persecution came on the church, so they went everywhere spreading the good news. He goes down to Samaria, preach Christ to them, gets an audience. They listen to him because now miracles start happening. Demons are coming out of people. Notice this. People that were taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. We're going to talk about this and expound upon it in a little bit. What does that mean? If they had paralysis or if they were unable to walk, he got them healed. Notice it doesn't say anything about blind eyes, deaf ears. But if you were paralyzed or had an inability to walk, Philip got you straightened out by the Holy Ghost. Now, we'll expand upon that. Now, let me show you something else. Go back to Acts chapter 6. And let me show you this. I want you to see this. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist for God to use you. Notice Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministry. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What were they looking for? People to serve tables. People to feed widows. Are y'all with me? Amen. This ain't rocket science. If you can read, you can understand this. The first deacons in the New Testament church were not established to tell the pastor what to preach. Their job was feeding widows. Y'all with me? I don't know where it got messed up, but it got messed up. Notice verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. Notice this, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There have been people who have read this verse and thought, well, you know, we need deacons too, so let's go find businessmen. And they appoint businessmen who are not honest and ain't full of the Holy Ghost. And now you got a problem. Anyway, that's not my sermon this morning. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Notice he was a man of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Yes. That's my heart's desire for you, that you be a person of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, what was Stephen, and I could read the other names, but I want to show you something here. What was their job? Serving tables, feeding widows. I want everybody to say that. Serving tables and feeding widows. Now that's real spiritual. That's deep theological stuff. Serving tables and feeding widows. And in order to do that, you had to be honest and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, why was that a requirement? The apostles knew something that we've forgotten. That God can use anybody to minister grace at any given moment, at any given time. Now, I want you to notice something about Stephen. Let's go down to verse 8. And Stephen, what was his function? Serving tables, feeding widows. Say it again. Serving tables, feeding widows. Notice verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was not a pastor. He was not an evangelist. He was not an apostle. He was not a prophet. He was in the ministry of helps, serving tables and feeding widows. But yet the Holy Ghost manifested himself through this young man to bring deliverance and healing to people. Now, the Bible uses a word here for miracles. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. One ancient definition of miracles, and I love this definition, is this. Explosions of almightiness. Explosions of almightiness. We don't know what the miracles were, but they went far beyond human ability. See, a miracle is a divine intervention into the natural course of events that at times can suspend the laws of nature. See, a miracle is walking through the Red Sea while the water's just standing up on either side. See, a miracle is delivering a guy with 2,000 demons in him, just saying, get out. And they go. See, a miracle is when a guy has a withered arm and you stand him up in front of everybody and challenge everybody. Say, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? And then he tells the guy, stretch your arm out. And it just goes, whoop, just like the other. So Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, his function was serving tables, feeding widows, but yet the Holy Spirit manifested himself through him to bring about mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. Can you see that? So God can use anybody as long as we're full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. See, for many, many years, too many churches have had a spectator mentality. People come to church like they go to the baseball game, or the football game, or the basketball game. You know, I'm there to cheer my pastor on, and cheer the choir on, and cheer the praise team on, you know. There are a lot of churches, not many that I minister in, but there are a lot of churches, people don't even bring their Bibles to church. They don't need their Bibles because it's a show. You know, and they come to church and the singing is good. And then the preacher gets up and he entertains, you know, and they leave there feeling good, shouting, got goosebumps, don't know a thing. Are you with me? Leave the church doors, the same old devil that's been beating them up all week. He's waiting for them on the church steps. When they get home, they got the same old problems they had before. Don't know what in the world to do about it. You with me? And most importantly, they encounter and meet people every day that the Lord wants to touch, but because their mind and heart are closed, there's no flow of the life of Jesus from them to others. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. What was his ministry? Serving tables, feeding widows. Never underestimate the power of God flowing from you to change somebody's life. But if your head's closed and your heart's closed, people won't be touched. Amen? Notice Matthew chapter 9. And let's look at verse 35 and 36. Talking about Jesus. Now, remember we talked about Philip, people taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Notice the ministry of Jesus, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, there was something different about the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of Philip. Philip had results in one or two areas, whereas Jesus healed them all. Philip had results in one or two areas, but Jesus healed them all. Now, let's look at another passage of Scripture that will sort of answer this question. Why did Jesus heal them all and Philip had limited results? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Everybody say, this isn't deep.
This isn't deep.
It's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple.
They don't teach this in most churches. Well, we're not most churches. I said this a few weeks ago. You're not going to get to heaven, and you were a member, a regular attendee of MGCC. You're not going to get to heaven and have the Lord say something to you and say, well, Jesus, I just didn't know. Nah, you don't tell that lie. Don't tell that lie. I don't think you got the guts to lie in front of Jesus anyway. I just didn't know. I said, no. See, because I'm not going to get up there and have the Lord say to me, you didn't teach them right. Mm-mm. I gave my best shot. They may, you know, hey, I can serve you the food. It's up to you to do something with it. You know, now I'm sure I don't know everything. I realize that. I'm not foolish, but I'll give you what I got. It's up to you to do something with it. Are you with me? I'll get before Jesus. I gave my best shot, man. I taught him everything I knew. All right, now, notice this. John chapter 3, let's look at verse 31. 30. John the Baptist said this. John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies, that no man receives his testimony. He that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Now notice verse 34. For he whom God hath sent, this is a reference to Jesus, speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, what does that phrase mean? The Greek word there is metron, and it simply means this. John the Baptist recognized that God sent Jesus and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, but he anointed Jesus without measure. Now, that simply means without limit and without degree. So when Jesus ministered on the earth, all of the Holy Spirit that was in the earth at the time was resting upon him. But we, as individual members of the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ, and members in particular, the inference is that we have the Spirit by measure. But as a body, corporately, we all together have the Spirit without measure. But individually, we have the Spirit by measure. That is why some people get great results in certain areas. And others get great results in other areas. There's a church up in Fredonia, New York. And there's a minister whom I knew many, many years ago, who ministered there a couple years ago, Ed Dufresne. And Ed Dufresne, used to come to our church when I was in Bible college. And Ed Dufresne always had tremendous results with people who were deaf. If you were deaf, Ed Dufresne would get you healed. I've seen other men. One guy from Akron, Ohio. In fact, he pastors a church that Rex Humbard used to pastor. Ernest Angley. Ernest Angley gets some of the most tremendous results I've ever seen with deaf mutes. I've never seen anything like it in my life. If you were born deaf or born mute, that brother gets you healed. The anointing's on him for deafness and mute. Now, I've never seen him lay hands on a blind person and their eyes open up. Are you with me? Or somebody who was lame. Why? Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit has anointed him by measure. And he gets great results in certain areas. You know what my heart's desire is? That we're going to do this. My heart's desire is that when somebody comes to me for prayer, for a particular thing, that I have enough confidence in some of you that I will say, you know, brother, that's great, but I want you to go see him. He's anointed in that area. That's tremendous. Thank God. I'll agree with you in prayer. But I want you to go see Sister Valerie. She's anointed in that area. Go see Sister Margie. Go see Brother Greg. Go see Devin. He's anointed in that area. He can get you delivered. Are you with me? Because I realize that I have an anointing on me, but it's limited. I'm not a jack of all trades. You know what happens? You're trying to be a jack of all trades. You master in nothing. See, I know I'm not all that. I know I'm anointed to do a certain thing. But we together as the body of Christ have the Spirit without measure. Now, some people are afraid of that concept because it sort of takes away from, you know, your luster, your shine. Well, listen, man, I got no reputation. My job is to lead and feed. My job is to pastor. My job is to guide. I know I can't do everything. I depend on other people. I depend on the Holy Ghost most of all. Are you with me? See, before I come out here on Sunday morning, I normally always pray this way in my office. Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Come on, let's go. All right? Because I can't do this by myself. And I can tell the difference. I'm sure you can too. When somebody tries to do it in their own natural ability. Paul the Apostle understood that. And he wrote to a church one time. He said, when I first came unto you, he said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom and flowery speech. He said, but my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And so he chucked all of his education to the side and said, Holy Ghost, let's go. And his preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, because he wanted people to have faith in God's power, not in his eloquence. And so it's one thing to leave church and you can parrot what the preacher said, some cute little phrase he came up with. But I'd rather have you leave here having faith in the Holy Ghost. Knowing the Word, but having faith in the Spirit of God. And so at any given moment when you are with someone who's nearest to you at the time, and the Holy Spirit whispers to you to say and or do something, you have the confidence to follow through. And you're just bold enough to believe that God can do anything. God can do anything. Somebody comes to you at work and says, oh, my family's falling, I'm having a crisis, this, that, and the other. And you got boldness to say, come here, I'm going to pray with you. God's going to straighten that thing out. Or somebody comes to you and says, you know, the doctors diagnosed me with this, gave me 6 months to live, blah, blah, blah. You don't get all scared and afraid with them. You got boldness to say, come here, let me put my hands on you, and we're going to believe God together. Amen? Y'all with me? You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, the anointed one. For many people, you're as close to Jesus. You're the only Jesus they'll ever get close to. That's the right way to say it. You're the only Jesus they'll ever see. You know, most people don't go to church. Did you know that? See, we're the faithful crowd. We're there, you know, as often as we can be. I was that kind of guy. I'm there every Sunday, Wednesday. I mean, if the doors were open, I was there. You know, and God will bless you just for being there, showing up, sticking it out. You with me? He'll bless you. You'll learn some things that other people just don't know. Because you're faithful, you're consistent, you're steady, you're sure. But that gives you an opportunity to be used of the Lord to minister to somebody else. And so this is the faithful crowd. We're the people who make the decision. We're going to be there. But you know, most people don't have the same mindset as you do. Most sinners don't come to church. Now, if we're going to win the world to Jesus, we can't do it within these four walls. Look around you. They ain't here. I had tickets to the Steeler game offered to me yesterday. Somebody called me up. Brother Gibson, Courtney. Pastor Bill, I got two tickets to the Pittsburgh Steeler game. You know, row 113, section 113, row V. 30-yard line in the visitor section. Well, he knows I got to preach this morning. I can't be going to... But he called me and said, do you know anybody? I got these tickets. Do you know anybody? I said, I don't know, Courtney. I'll find... There were a bunch of guys in my backyard working. You know, I have a pool back there that we don't use, so I gave it away. So the guys are back there taking the pool apart. So I went back there and asked the guys, hey, guys, anybody want to go to Pittsburgh game tomorrow? You know, I know where you can get some tickets. Well, just then my next door neighbor come out of the house. His name is Joe. And so these guys are on the phone trying to see if, you know, they know anybody who can go. So I looked at Joe. I said, hey, Joe, I said, you a football fan? You a Steeler fan? He said, nah, I'm not into football, man. I said, I know where you can get two tickets to the game tomorrow if you want it. Well, he got on the phone, started, you know, we never did come up with anybody for them tickets. So I don't even know who they play today. Who do they play? Titans? Houston. No, Houston was last week. Anyway, let's get back on the word. Got you all thinking football now. It's all right. When you get home, the game will be on. All right? But listen to me. All of us have neighbors. All of us have people that we encounter every day. And tickets to the Steeler game, I think, are kind of valuable. Stadium was sold out for years. Well, how much more valuable is the life of Jesus that's in you? You've got something to offer people that'll impact them for eternity. Eternity. I'm not talking about a football game. That's 3-4 hours, you drive home, it's over. I'm talking about for eternity. You can introduce people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But don't be intimidated because of the mess or the problem that they're in. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because you are the body of Christ and you're an individual member. And some of you, God is anointed with gifts of healings or working of miracles. Just recognize His voice and be able to respond. You know, I'd say, well, Pastor Bill, this is, man, I never heard anything like this. Well, hang around, man. This will get more comfortable. Are you with me? If I'm not teaching the Word, you'll know it. This is in the Bible. Am I correct? All right, turn with me now to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Talking about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. Gifts of healings. Acts chapter 5. Let me show you something. We know that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. That implies that we as the body of Christ individually have the Spirit by measure. But corporately, we have the Spirit without measure, just like Jesus did. Now, you might say, Pastor Young, can you back that up? Yep. Acts chapter 5. And let's look at verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Notice what it says. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Notice that it talked about their hands. By their hands. We'll talk about this in a future lesson. But there's some significance there. By the hands of the apostles. Jesus ministered to people many times by the laying on of hands. Now, laying on of hands is not a religious ritual. Laying on of hands is a powerful tool that the Holy Spirit can use to minister to people. There's something about reaching out and touching somebody. that causes power to flow. Not from you, but from the Spirit of God on you, into them. And that power many times can drive disease right out of their body. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine. It won't work for you. Okay? Remember Mark chapter 1, verse 40? And a leper came to him, kneeling unto him, beseeching him, saying unto him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Bible says, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. Now, why did he touch him? A leper was an untouchable. He touched him because he knew that the anointing upon him would flow into that man and drive that disease right out of his body. And immediately the leprosy departed and he was healed. There's something about touching people. I'm talking about touching them appropriately. Are you with me? Putting your hands on them so that the anointing of the Holy Spirit can flow out of you into them. See, we're not talking about your ability. We're talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can change lives in a moment. Just like that. So never be afraid to reach out and touch people. Are you with me? Especially when you're praying for them. You don't have to lay hands on their head. You don't have to pray a big flowery prayer. By the authority given me, by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. You scare people. You scare people when you do that. Don't be scary. Don't do that to people, man. You freak them out. You know what I do? I say, you know what? I've had guys say, you know, would you pray for my ear? Sure, come here. And I put my hand on the shoulder. I don't say, you know, some big, booming, scary stuff. I just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed.
Yes, yes, yes.
You with me? A lot of times, I'll just grab them by the hand. Come on, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, be healed. You all with me? But don't shift gears and get into this religious mode. You know? And here's another tip for you. I'm getting off track a little bit, but I think you understand this. When you're praying for people, you don't have to be all loud. You don't have to. You can be quiet. In Jesus' name be healed. You can whisper it. It'll work.
Yes.
It'll work.
Right. Amen.
You know, some of my friends, boy. I remember once in St. Louis, I went to visit a woman from our church who was in the hospital and went to pray for her. And she was she was helping a Bible college in St. Louis. And these people who taught this Bible college or ran the school, you know, they had some strange beliefs. You know, I love them with all my heart. They're godly people, but man, they made stuff tough. I mean, they were into all this weird stuff. You know, to get healed of a cold, you had to bind this angel and bind this demon, loose this angel. And the first time I heard her teaching, I'm like, this seemed kind of complicated, man. You know, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I went to college. I went to Bible school. I don't understand what in the world she's talking about. How's the average person going to understand this? I couldn't figure it out. They made it tough. And so anyway, one of the people from their school, and y'all will remember this. Remember, because some of y'all are the same age as me. I'm 55, all right? You remember when certain things were in style? You know, I remember my first bell-bottom pants. Y'all remember? My mother let me get a pair of semi-bells. She didn't want the big bells. Semi-bells. And here I was wearing straight legs. Well, you know, styles change. I had my big fro and my big sideburns and all that stuff. Well, then in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, it was Jerry curls. I'm in the hospital visiting this woman from our church who's helping with this other Bible college. There's a student from the Bible college there. And she come to visit, you know, and pray for people. And she still got her Jerry curl bag on her head. I'm serious. She got, you know how it was. You know, some of y'all had them. She got the blue bag on. She's got the big old family Bible. It looked like it weighed 50 pounds. And she's going from room to room, ripping curtains back and telling people, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm here to pray for you in the name of Jesus and get you healed." Scaring people. Man, don't pray for nobody with a Jerry Curl bag on your head. And I remember she went to this, and I'm standing in this room, and she rips this curtain back, and this poor guy's laying in the bed. I don't know what was wrong with him. And she says, "I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus." And this guy looked at her. He said, "Who are you? Get out of here. Leave you. Get out of here." He's trying to get some sleep. I'm like, "Get out of here." But she got a big old family Bible in the Jerry Curl bag. Listen, now, I told you that for one reason. You don't have to draw a lot of attention to yourself. It doesn't take all that. But notice it says, by the hands of the apostles. By the hands. Man, don't be afraid to put your hand on somebody's shoulder. Don't get religious. Just pray in faith. You know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I agree with you in prayer. Be healed. Grab their hand. Put your hand on your shoulder. You don't have to knock them down. You don't have to put your hand on their head and trip them, you know. Just touch them. Just touch them. It'll work. God's power will flow. Are you with me? Okay, where was I? Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord," notice this, "multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits." Notice this. "And they were healed, every one." All of them got healed. All of them got delivered. Not because the apostles in Jerusalem had advanced degrees in counseling and psychology. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter did something that even Jesus himself, it's not recorded that he had done. I'm not saying he hadn't done it, but we have no evidence of it. But Peter would walk down the street and his shadow would hit people and they'd get healed. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some strong stuff. I've never read after anybody who got people healed when their shadow hit them. Strange, but it worked. Now, why did this take place? Because they understood the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And here's what you have to realize. Be just like Peter did when he went in there and in that room where that woman had died. First thing he did was he put them all out. Second thing he did was he prayed. You need to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You with me? I heard a pastor, Dr. Paul Youngie Cho, many years ago, shared with us how his little church in Seoul, South Korea, started to grow really big. When I heard Dr. Cho, his church was kind of small. He only had about 550,000 members. And he pastored a church called Yoido Full Gospel Church in Seoul, South Korea. And they would have upwards of hundreds of thousands of people come to church every Sunday. So they met in a big stadium, and then they had an office building with 1,500 people on each floor, and they watched by closed circuit TV. But Dr. Cho shared a story one time. Early in his ministry, he was having crusades, and people would come to soccer stadiums. He'd preach the gospel and minister to the sick. And so one meeting, he said he was in prayer before he went out to minister to the people, and the Holy Ghost told him, said, "I'm going to heal every paralyzed person tonight." And so there were 19 people who either had partial or complete paralysis, like quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down or from the waist down. He said he ministered to all 19. Every one of them walked out of that place that night. All 19 were instantly healed. And so, a month later, he was having another meeting at the same stadium. So he told, you know, his people to put up billboards and advertise, "Bring all the paralyzed people. God's going to heal them tonight." And that next meeting, a month later, he said he got out there, preached the gospel, laid hands on those paralyzed people, sweated, yelled, did everything he could do. Didn't work. Afterwards, he went back to his hotel. He said, "I wanted to kill myself. And I said to the Lord, 'Lord, you're merciless.'" He said, "Why do you say that?" He said, a month ago you healed all 19 of them. He said, well, a month ago I told you I would. He said, I didn't tell you to advertise all over the city, bring all the paralyzed people. He said, you did that. Are you with me? I think you're mature enough to handle this, don't you? Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. These things take place as He wills, not as we will. But if we'll follow after love and realize that love never fails, and that we are the body of Christ and individual members, and that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, don't close your mind and don't close your heart. Always be receptive and willing to reach out and minister to those who are around you. Amen?
Amen.
But if you have that attitude, I always have the attitude that the Holy Spirit's liable to do anything, say anything at any moment, and I put no limits on what He can do. Amen? Put no limits on what He can do. Now, Jesus had the Spirit without limit or without degree. We have the Spirit by limit or degree. So it's very important that you listen to His voice. Amen? Don't do something just because somebody across town did it. Don't do something just because I did it. If it's in the Bible and it says do this, then do it. You can have faith in it. But we need to listen to the Holy Spirit so we can respond to people appropriately. Amen? God can use you to change lives forever. And you don't have to be a theologian to do it. You can be just like Stephen, serving tables, feeding widows. But if you're full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders can happen in your life. Amen? Did you guys learn anything today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?